Howdy, folks. Welcome to episode 150 of Lords of Order, a DC's Dr. Fate fan podcast. I'm your host, Ed Moore, and beware, there will be spoilers. Now, if you want to get in touch, you can tweet me at Teal Productions, Teal like the color, T-E-A-L. Teal Productions and Lords of Order both have Facebook pages. The Dr. Fate fan podcast at gmail.com is the email address, and the website is bigtimenoise.com/Dr. Fate. Now, I'm looking at All-Star Comics, the 1940/1976 volume, issue number 69. Cover dated November-December 1977, sale dated August 23rd, 1977. Now, this was written for us by Mr. Paul Levitz, penciled by Joe Staton, inked by Bob Layton, and lettered by Ben Oda. Mike's Amazing World indicates Liz Berube was the colorist, but the Grand Comic Database indicates it was Elizabeth Safian, so not sure there. The cover comes to us from Al Milgram, Jack Abel, Tatiana Wood, and Joe Lederese. And if you are looking for the book and don't have access to the original, you can find it in Justice Society number 2 from 2006. Showcase Presents All-Star Comics number 1 from 2011. And All-Star Comics Only Legends Live Forever from 2019. Now on the cover, we have kind of an action-y scene coming at us, rushing at us, are Dr. Fate, Green Lantern, Wildcat, Flash, and Star-Spangled Kid, arrayed up the left and right side and crossing over in front of us in the foreground are, from left to right, Hourman, Starman, Dr. Midnight, Wonder Woman, and Robin. This is the first appearance in this volume, well, this sub-series of All-Star that we've had. We've had Superman, we've had Batman, and we continue to have Batman this issue, and we have Wonder Woman, and this is the first appearance of a character that I'll get into in a little bit, but it's indicated on the front cover also, the heads along the side that give you the cast. So this opens, looks like we're on top of a building of some sort. I would almost say the brownstone, but it's not, because we see on down here, Commissioner Bruce Wayne is looking out the windows at us. No, it could be the brownstone. This could be one of the rooms for the JSA headquarters. On top, standing, are Star-Spangled Kid, Wildcat, and Flash, and descending from the sky to the top roof are Green Lantern, Power Girl, Hawkman, and Dr. Fate. So we all meet up here. Yep, it is going to be the roof of the brownstone, because Power Girl gets a little impatient with everybody meeting outside, and Green Lantern opens up a security clearance stairway gateway into the brownstone, since it's locked and all the security measures are activated. And no sooner do they get down here that somebody flips on the overhead light, and lo and behold, it's Commissioner Bruce Wayne holding a warrant for everyone's arrest. 2, 4, 6, 7 Justice Society members here. Well, ultimately, we have some back and forth. Power Girl gets a bit perturbed, and she makes a move that is misunderstood by one of the officers that are holding more powerful than normal firearms, because this is the Justice Society. These are a bunch of capes, so something more is needed than just normal. And he, in essence, shoots Gunn's Power Girl down. It rips her clothes. It cuts into her. It actually does her physical damage. The weaponry, the narrator tells us, the weaponry that the common man has access to now is much more advanced, though maybe not enough, you know, in all cases, but much more advanced than what these heroes initially would have run across in the 40s when they first got together, first put on their costumes. Now, none of that really applies to Power Girl, because she is Superman's cousin. He felt that she was as capable as he was, Superman, and so he asked that she be allowed to take his place in the Justice Society, as he, for the umpteenth time, wanted to step back and not superhero anymore. So the Justice Society members are taken aback, first by the fact that she was fired upon, second by the fact that she was injured because she collapses in front of everyone. And we have several montage panels of the extreme faces that everyone is showing. Oddly enough, they're all men. right? Because Power Girl right now is the only girl on the team. But except for Dr. Fate. He has that full helmet. You don't know what in the world he's doing there. So at that point, the Justice Society decides, well, okay, police commissioner, first of all, you know, we're not going to go in. Or whatever. Second of all, you shot one of us. We're out of here. So Dr. Fate runs over, picks up Power Girl, and jumps out through a big Ankh-shaped hole in the wall of the brownstone. The other All-Stars knock out the rest of the policemen so that they don't get shot, and they leave also in their own special ways. Star-Spangled Kid flies. Looks like Green Lantern is carrying Wildcat, and Hawkman is carrying Flash. Dr. Fate is carrying Power Girl. Bruce Wayne, of course, Commissioner Wayne, excuse me, runs up to the hole in the wall, you know, shaking his fist. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to teach you that you're not above the law, he yells, which is so funny coming from Batman, right? I mean, yeah. So Hourman and Robin rush in. I believe that Commissioner had called them for assistance and they were like on their way to the rendezvous here. I don't know. The Justice Society got there before they expected or whatever, but these capes, who are essentially on Commissioner Wayne's side, did not arrive until after. And there's a scene here of, you know, them saying that they'll support him and him saying that, well, the JSA is going to come in no matter what, and all this stuff. Wayne reaches out and smacks Robin's signaling device and triggers an all call for the JSA. Now, I guess because it's Robin, it goes out to members not in the group that we just saw, because I thought we have seen this signaling device earlier and it pings everybody, which is how Superman several stories ago got involved, because it pinged him. But here, I guess it's been arranged to ping once that Commissioner Wayne has been in contact with or something. I'm not sure why, but those that we just saw are not notified. Who is notified is an out of cape Ted Knight, Charles McNider, and Diana Prince. So they, along with Robin and Hourman, are going to assist Commissioner Bruce Wayne bringing in the rest of the Justice Society. That's what we're getting to. There's going to be a showdown here. So now we cut over to an interlude where Dr. Fate has taken Power Girl to somewhere. Doesn't really say, northwest of Gotham City. So if someone who is more versed in the DC world of Gotham, more so than I, may know what this place is, it's shown, but there's no names or anything referenced. It's some sort of medical facility. So Fate has taken Power Girl here, and the rest of the Justice Society are here as well. And they're being watched from the shadows of trees outside on an upper limb. And to all indications, it's Batman. So we just left Bruce Wayne at the brownstone. So now he is keeping an eye on them from outside this medical facility. It's made to look like Batman, but we're going to find out it's not. It is our special guest star first appearance of person. Next up, let's see. Somehow the JSA have encountered a coded classified ad to tell them to rendezvous at the Batcave. And when they do, Bruce Wayne is here. Bruce Wayne, along with Dr. Midnight, Robin, Hourman, Wonder Woman, and Starman. Wow, forgot that one. Your regular brouhaha, although this isn't the normal good guys attack somebody before they understand what's going on and the person turns out to be a good guy as well. Battle. This is, we're going to find out that, well, one person in this whole scenario is basically responsible for the confrontation of these two groups of heroes, all of whom have served on the Justice Society, all of whom during the war served together in the All-Star Squadron. So these characters know each other, except for the newbies, Star-Spangled Kid, Power Girl, who's down, and who was the third one? Star-Spangled Kid? Oh, well, Robin. Robin knows them. So they all know each other. But one person responsible leading everything, a fight ensues, whereas where one group is following the lead of someone that is in error, and the other group is not doing anything different from what superheroes since the beginning of time have done, at least for the last 35 to 40 years in DC comic books. Wonder Woman attacks with the lasso. The lasso is going to subdue everyone, but also force them to tell the truth, because our Justice Society members that we've been following in the book are the wrong ones. They're the bad guys, quote unquote. So Wonder Woman's going to subdue them quickly. Green Lantern uses his ring and says, no, not with the lasso, not going to happen. Starman and Star-Spangled Kid face off against each other, and we see that Starman has his gravity rod, which I thought that the Star-Spangled Kid had, but Star-Spangled Kid says that, the narrator doesn't tell us, but later on in the story, he tells us that he has, here it is, won't help you, the cosmic converter I developed is much stronger than your cosmic rod. So the cosmic converter appears to be like a belt, like the belt of strength that like Thor wore and stuff like that. That apparently is what Star-Spangled Kid has switched to. And I noticed several issues ago that he was flying around without the rod, but I never saw him speak of why he was able to do that. So maybe I missed it. I would have brought it up on the show too. So I don't know. But either way, he doesn't have it. Full page panel here where we see Starman and Star-Spangled Kid face off. Green Lantern and Wonder Woman are going at it. Hawkman and Robin. Dr. Midnight and Flash. Wildcat takes out Commissioner Wayne. I keep wanting to say Commissioner Gordon. That's why I keep hesitating. Commissioner Wayne. And Hourman and Dr. Fate are going at it. All in a full page spread here as you go from top to bottom. You see all that. So that's an awesome. And remember, keep in mind too, this is drawn for us by Mr. Joe Staton, inked by Mr. Bob Layton. So that is some pretty art. All right, next page we break out into several panels of each of the individual fights. We see Starman and Star-Spangled Kid fighting. Starman wins that one. Dr. Midnight and the Flash go at it. Dr. Midnight wins that one. Hawkman and Robin go at it. Robin wins that one. Dr. Fate and Hourman going at it to end those series of panels, and we can't really tell who wins in that one. We cut back to whatever this medical facility is. We see this Batman-esque character watching through the window, watching Power Girl's room. And somebody comes in here and they're completely shadowed, dressed in a suit and tie. I believe that it is going to be Clark Kent. He's looking in. He's gotten word that his cousin is damaged and in the hospital. And he has come in to look in on him. Kind of funny, because basically what these scenes portray is a Batman and a Superman both together here. Not the case. This is Clark Kent and person who is made up. And I think even when we see them, it's not as close to Batman as the shadowy drawings appear to be. And then finally, this individual leaps off and you start seeing perhaps that this is not Batman. Well, besides the fact that Bruce Wayne is in battle in the brownstone in New York or Gotham, wherever the brownstone happens to be. I keep getting that confused. And this is outside of Gotham somewhere. This figure looks to be female. So a little bit more information for those that are aware of DC history. A female Batman-esque character who was introduced in this issue of All-Star Comics. That's what we're getting to. So we cut back to Wayne Manor. We're not in the caves anymore because shooting out of the barn on the property that is used to access the caves are Green Lantern and Wonder Woman still going at it. We cut to Wildcat and Bruce Wayne, which Wildcat knocks out, but then Wildcat is tackled from behind by Robin. Then we start seeing multiple panels of multiple characters fighting here. Here's Dr. Fate in one panel here giving a double onk to Starman, which I mentioned that because this is supposed to be a Dr. Fate podcast. In the midst of this, Superman busts into the room carrying Power Girl. So that's what makes me think definitely that that was Clark Kent that was visiting her. He was waiting for her to come around. So he brings her because he has gotten wind of this rift that is occurring between former teammates. Power Girl also, I'm sure, has been telling Superman from the Justice Society side what has been going on. So Superman represents the one side and his memories, right? Power Girl represents the other side, and they have confabbed together here and have come to the conclusion, we don't know that quite yet, but we will hear momentarily, of what more than likely is going on. And then Dr. Fate helps us understand, yes, indeed, that is what you suppose is what is going on. So Superman and Power Girl jumps in. Again, both of them representing, you know, the subsequent sides. They tell everybody what they think is going on, and ultimately they believe that Psycho Pirate has gotten a hold of somebody and has given him the brain wonkies there, and he is the one that is leading this whole charade of good hero versus bad hero. Fate steps up with a magical Anki power beam to the face of Bruce Wayne to check and see if he has been tampered with. And sure enough, he has. Psycho Pirate had messed up his head to where he was aggressively pursuing the bad guys. He collapses and he's all boo-hooey sorry because he just recently lost Selina, which occurred in DC Superstars 17. Selina was his wife. Yes, Batman and Catwoman were married on Earth 2 continuity, for those of you that didn't know that. If you don't know who Selina is, Selina Kyle, Selina Wayne now. And this DC Superstars 17 was released within days of this issue of All-Star Comics as well. So all of this has happened in quick succession if you're reading, you know, these different books. So now Bruce Wayne is all weepy about how he could do this, but a lot of this has to do with his not having really dealt with what happened to Selina yet. And Power Girl turns out in this particular instance to be kind of his the substitute for Selina, as Bruce Wayne is talking to her and he's holding her in a very tender way here in a hug. And interestingly enough, Power Girl does not object to this at all, where she has objected to, those of you that are saying it before, before I can get to it, yeah, I guess perhaps they were more objectified examples of the same thing, but Bruce Wayne's very touchy-feely here. Power Girl, as far as I know, doesn't really know Bruce Wayne, but she's letting him boo-hoo and cling to her like this, so... So everybody steps aside. It's all good. We have the two sides of heroes in the next to last panel mixing together. We have the good heroes and bad heroes in several places jumbled together like they should be. This is just a get together of the Justice Society, which, man, I wish this team. Yeah, I really dig the Justice Society team. We step outside where they are being watched again. So this person left this medical facility outside Gotham, I guess following Superman and Power Girl because he had Power Girl. And she is watching what is going on with a pair of binoculars and steps back, and we finally get a shadowed vision of her. And it turns out to be Helena Wayne Huntress. Now, if I am wrong, someone correct me, but I believe that Helena Wayne is the daughter of Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne on Earth 2. So her mom just died. She's keeping an eye on her dad, and she's dressed up ready to go here in her Huntress outfit. Now, from here, I just don't see confusing her for Batman. So they were really doing a number on us in the shadowy parts to make it look like Batman, but not going completely over the top to make you assume that it was. There were just enough hints. And the thing that's really getting me are Batman's ears as opposed to the horns on the Huntress's mask, if you know the outfit. In the shadow, those were really drawn like they were Batman's horns. So, yeah. If those are Batman's horns, They were very much a Neil Adams-y kind of, you know, outfit, but that's neither here nor there. And so there we go. This is the first appearance of Helena Wayne Huntress, Earth 2's Huntress. She does go on, I think, to wander her way over to Earth 1, along with some of these other characters, Psycho Pirate, Dr. Fate, I believe. Actually, today I put out on Twitter and was asking some questions about the Earth 1 / Earth 2 dynamic and some things. Maybe I'll further my education and get into a fun discussion of that there. So thus ends 2024 of the Lords of Order podcast. We end on the nice round figure of 150 total episodes. Next time out, have shaped up to talk about All-Star Comics issue 70, 71, 2, 3, 4, 5. Only 6 more issues of this title, and then we'll have to start bouncing around again to catch appearances of Dr. Fate. But that'll occur later on in the year 2025 as we get through those first 6 issues to begin with. But nonetheless, thus ends 2024. Lords of Order. Talk to you guys next time, 2025. Ciao.